All right, lesson 8. We are in chapter 8, you guys. We only have one more lesson together. Oh, goodness. And this is called Let There Be Newness of Life. And I just love how Esther is ending. Isn't it wonderful? It's been a wonderful study that we've been able to share together. You know, God has given us such great insight to our spiritual life as we studied this book of Esther. We've learned that each one of us is like the king. He represents our will and our emotions and our mind. And that is what really rules over us. And Haman, we see as sin. He deceives and we see self-effort, self-centeredness, self-praise, self-pity in Haman. Esther, as we've said so many times, it represents just deliverance. She represents that spirit of Christ that can only come from a new spirit, which is under the control of the Holy Spirit. And Mordecai is just, he really shows us the representation of the Holy Spirit in this. But chapter 8 is broken down into three sections that I want us to look at today. The new authority, the new law, and the new victory that is happening here. And what I want us to see first is that we will find our true significance when we give all authority to the Lord. We see that new authority in verses 1 and 2 when Esther is rewarded with Haman's estate when she quickly gives it to Mordecai. It was very customary for the criminal's possessions to be given to the king. And this represents Christ in all his authority and giving him all the authority of our life, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Whenever we allow the Holy Spirit to fully influence and guide our steps, that's giving that authority. And as Christians, we sometimes only give him a portion of our life. We believe that we can control all the other areas. We only give him certain areas. You know, let me control my business, but you can have control of my Sundays. Something like that. But we want him to have everything. And you know what? God brings trials and experiences into our life to show us that we haven't been giving him full authority. We have not fully submitted. We quickly see that whenever a trial comes into our life. But just as we see with Mordecai coming to the king's presence at this time in chapter 8, we remember that he has been a part of Esther's life this whole time. And he has influenced Esther, and truly he's influenced the king partially. And that's what we see the Holy Spirit doing with us every day. As a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We will never lose that. But for many of us, we don't even realize that we have the Holy Spirit because he doesn't have full authority. He's influencing us in certain areas that we don't even realize. A lot of times we say that it's a coincidence that that has happened. But as we see Mordecai being brought to the front, to the full view of the king here in Scripture, we need to realize that that's what we've got to do with the Holy Spirit. He's got to have full authority of our lives. Romans 7:18 says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. The next thing that we need to see is that we will find our true significance when we fully recognize the new creation that we are in Christ. And that's in verses 3 through 8. It's the new law. While in the king's presence, Esther brings his focus back to the destruction of the people, the death of the Jews. And she pleads her case once again. And we see that she is now safe from harm, but she doesn't stop there. She takes care of her people, and she truly has taken to heart, and it's living out her purpose. She is placed at a time like this to deliver the Jewish people. In verses 7 and 8, it says that the king gives all authority over to Esther and to Mordecai to write a new decree that will protect the Jews. And as we saw in Daniel in our questions, the law cannot be revoked, but a new law can be established. And that's what they've done here. And as we see the significance of that signet ring, you know, we saw it given to Haman. So authority was given into evilness and into sin, but now we see authority being given into the Holy Spirit. That's the symbolism for you and I as Christians. But we see that power of God's authority in our life. And you know what? You and I do have a new document, just like what we see here. And I love that. We have a new document written, a new life. As a believer, we are a new creation. The old self is gone and it cannot be revoked. 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22 says, "Now it is God who makes you stand firm in Christ. He anointed you, set his seal of ownership on you, and put his Spirit in your heart as a deposit." And Ephesians 1:13 says, "You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession." You know, do you walk with the knowledge and authority of the seal of the Holy Spirit? He is your resource and guarantee for victorious living. And this is law that can't be revoked. It's the law of sin. Just like the law of the Medes and the Persians, it can't be changed. The king knew that the decree of evil, but he could do nothing about it. It had already been done. It was set in action. So it is with you and me in our sin. You've experienced it. You know it is evil. You know the sin and aren't hiding it anymore, but you can't get rid of that consequence. You don't have the power to. The more you try to get rid of your sin, the more you're going to fail and you're helpless. And that's what we see here with the king. He is helpless to revoke this decree, but he has to put a new law into place. Romans 7:22 says, "For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law that is at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" David Guzik says that the one point of the passages is that it describes a man who is trying to be good and holy by his own efforts and is beaten back every time by the power of the indwelling sin. Sin is able to war within Paul, who is the writer of Ephesians, and to win because there is no power within himself other than himself to stop sinning. So Paul is caught in the desperate powerlessness of trying to battle sin and the power of self. So what could be done for this king in Esther 8 in this decree? And as a believer, what can be done for you and me in the situation and circumstances of our sin? What we'll see is that we will find our true significance when we live victorious lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. We will find our true significance when we live victorious lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that looking at verses 9 through 17, this new decree that we keep talking about that is being written. Haman's was the decree of death, but Mordecai's is the decree of life. And this is how it is with our own lives. Choosing a life in Christ allows you to write a new decree, a decree that is to live a victorious life. And here, the Jews have been given a way out. The decree goes out stating that the Jews can now protect themselves from armed forces. And God has given you and me a way out as well. Even though we have sinned, he has sent his son as our sacrificial lamb. We no longer have the death penalty, but we have eternal life. And Mordecai leaves the king in royalty. Whenever we see that in scripture, it says that he leaves the palace in royalty and the city celebrates. That's quite a contrast from the last decree where the people were bewildered. In the Amplified version, it says, "It is a dawn of new hope." Romans 8:2 says, "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." And that's what we're seeing here in Scripture in the book of Esther. You know, life in Christ doesn't always change the circumstances of your sin or the consequence of your sin. But it will turn your adversity and affliction into a joy that you have never known, and you will be given great peace that goes beyond understanding. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And that's what we're seeing here with these the Jewish people. There is still consequence there of the old decree, but with the new decree, they have incredible hope now. You know, when I gave my gave the Holy Spirit full authority of my life, you know, I was a mess. From an outward appearance, I looked fine. I was successful. But you know what? I was wearing so many masks. And the Hamans that were in my life were so influential that I was just spinning out of control. And I thought that my Hamans were looking out for me. But the sin that I thought was influencing me was allowing me to hide behind my insecurities. I thought that it was good. I thought that it was okay to be counterfeit in this way. But whenever I finally awakened to reality, I was close to death. And I can never change the consequences that I've had to live out because of my past sins. But I do have new hope. God has written a new decree on my life, and it's one that has the protection of the Holy Spirit and the joy of knowing that I'm going to live eternally with my Savior. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given." In these verses, actually in verse 17, it says, "Many people became Jews. Many Gentiles adopted the principles of the people of God. They left their pagan ways and they worshiped and turned to the Lord. They too submitted themselves to the one true God." And when things happen in your life that no human explanation will do, when you have a peace and a joy that doesn't match the trials and consequences of your life, you too will be a mighty, powerful Christian witness. And people will look at you and say, "There is something about her that is different. She carries herself in a manner of confidence, but with a humble spirit." You know what? You have become a woman of significance through knowing who you are in Christ and coming under the authority of the Holy Spirit. That is just my prayer for you. You know, if you look at the book of Esther, you see incredible consequences of death and sin. But you also see a magnificent God who has the power of deliverance. I want us to know that we are significant in Christ. Yes, we are sinners. But absolutely, He will deliver us from our sin if we will only allow Him to do that. Guys, we have one more lesson together, one more week of questions. And I pray that you will just fulfill your commitment to the Lord to study the Word of God through the book of Esther during this time, and that you will see victory as you finish out this time of study. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for being our deliverer. I thank you for giving us a way out, dear Father, when the consequence of sin is so overwhelming to us. Dear Father, continue to work in our hearts. Continue to work in our lives. Continue to use us as witnesses of your deliverance, of your power, and of your work. I pray for these women, dear Father. They're going through situations that I can't even imagine having to deal with. But they can live victorious lives through the authority of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And I pray that they will commit themselves to being under your authority. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.